Good morning.
Good morning.
The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward.
But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door
and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you need before you ask them. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Why did Jesus have to talk to us about forgiving other people? It would be more comfortable if he didn't, right? Forgiveness is something that we want if it's the other person that's going to forgive us, right? This morning, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And on your heart and on your mind, you may be angry with a person and don't want to forgive them. You may be angry with God and not want to forgive God. Or you may be angry with yourself and have a hard time forgiving yourself. These are the things we will talk about this morning. And over my 30 years of ministry, I will say this, that of all the people that come to me and need to talk to me about something that they're dealing with in their lives, the number one thing has always been forgiveness. I just can't forgive that. And so I pray that you, and I'll share honestly about myself. So I think that's the only way we can roll is to do that. Some of what I'm saying this morning is taken from Brent Reinhardt. He is a public relations practitioner and a writer. He writes about how God and the Bible and parenting all teach us so much about life. And if you want to read any more of his stuff, I'll just give you the website. It's apparentstuff.com, and that's apparent, APPARENT, stuff.com, and stuff is STUFF, I think you know that, but apparentstuff.com. And he goes on, Mr. Reinhardt says this, he says, what does the Bible say about forgiveness? Because as Christians, we should follow what the Bible says. But he starts out with a personal story, and he says this, a number of years ago, my childhood best friend and I had a falling out. It started as an issue between our parents, but it boiled over to us as their children. We both said things that we shouldn't have, and a once close friendship vanished almost overnight because of those small words that were exchanged. Eventually, he says, we both apologized and forgiveness was granted and wounds were finally healed, but the relationship was really never the same after that. We've all had situations like this, haven't we? Unless you're living on a different planet. We have hurt someone or someone has hurt us. It's impossible to have relationships here on planet Earth and then expect that we don't need forgiveness in those relationships. Sometimes you're going to need it, sometimes the other person is going to need it. And I've spoken with many people who say, well, Pastor John, I've never needed forgiveness, but there's a whole lot of other people that do. Then I know I'm talking with somebody that's a little delusional. Sometimes we are the ones that need to be forgiven, and sometimes we are the ones that need to forgive. Despite how much of this is in our lives, it seems that many of us have a mistaken view of forgiveness and its impact, because we don't really care to be forgiven, or we don't care to forgive because we think that we're okay. But listen to what the man says here. He says, not only does it damage us spiritually and emotionally, but it also, and talking about unforgiveness, it also takes a toll on our physical health. In fact, according to Johns Hopkins Medicine, forgiveness has a huge impact on your health. And then he goes on to say, whether it's a simple spat with your spouse or a long-held resentment toward a family member or a friend, unresolved conflict that needs forgiveness can go deeper than you may realize. It affects your physical health. But the good news is, studies have found that forgiveness gives us huge rewards for our health. Forgiveness, once we do it, it lowers our risk of heart attack, it improves our sleep, it improves our cholesterol levels, it reduces pain and blood pressure, it reduces anxiety, depression, and stress. All of these are reduced when we have experienced forgiveness. And research further points out there's an increase in the connection between forgiveness and health. So in other words, what he's saying is this: choosing to forgive is a healthy choice. You're going to live longer if you are a forgiver. And again, in my 33 years of ministry, the number one thing that people come to me with is forgiveness. That's just the way we're built. Okay, so let's take a look. First of all, we need to understand we are Christians. Do you believe the good book? Do you believe the words of Jesus? Do you believe the words of the Father? And I'm assuming we all do, since we're here in this room today. And I know they say, just because you're in a garage doesn't mean you're a car, and just because you're in church doesn't mean you're a Christian. But I would hope that we're all at least looking to the Lord's Word. So number one, probably the number one thing that the Scripture says about forgiveness is this: all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, I had a woman in my church that said, well, my mother never sinned. I'm sure she never sinned. That's not scriptural. But I said, you can believe whatever you want. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And this is from the Apostle Paul. And the result of sin is death, he says. So when we choose our own way instead of God's way, in other words, we're separating ourselves from the God of all life, because He is the giver of all life. So when we separate ourselves from the God of all life, then we shouldn't be surprised that separation from the God of all life puts us in the path of death. That's easy to understand when we put it that way. Now, from a spiritual perspective, from a biblical understanding, we are all born with a sin problem, according to Scripture, that we inherited from Adam and Eve. And you say, Pastor John, I wasn't there. That doesn't matter. The Scripture says that is handed down to us because of that, just as you have traits that are passed down to you from your parents, from your mother and father. Some you wish you had more of, some you wish you would get rid of, if you're like me. We would be lost forever without God intervening and offering forgiveness to us. But we don't like to give it to others, do we? God is there with open arms to offer forgiveness, and we as His kids should be the same way. If we are Christians, if we are following God, then we should be offering people forgiveness. Forgiveness is essential to all relationships, most especially to marriage. And I can vouch for this. Especially in those early years, you know, when you're just infatuated with the other person, and then they do things that annoy you, and it's because, well, you know, her family does things this way, my family did things this way, you know, and so it's a good idea for those of you, I think you all know this, but this is good advice for young people who are considering getting married. When you are dating, when you get married, get together and figure out what you're going to do with the family traditions. Well, my family did this at Thanksgiving and this at Christmas. We did this when this happened, la-di-da-di-da, you know, and you make your own way. You say, well, I like that part of your family thing. I like that part, la-di-da-di-da. Let's, you know, I think we'll do this. And how many kids do you want? You know, and all of that. If you don't, you know, if you've got a, you know, if she wants 20 kids and you want 2, then you're in trouble. You know. Okay. Do you believe God's word and his promises? God tells us that if we confess our sins, he forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess our sins, he forgives us. God freely forgives. And we should as well. Number two. So number one, we all need forgiveness. And the second thing from Scripture is this. Forgiving others comes before our own forgiveness. And this is an uncomfortable thing, but we read it in the Lord's Prayer, and this was Jesus speaking, so we need to understand that this is true. And I'll just read it again. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, that's from today's reading. God is ready and willing to forgive us, but he asks that we extend this same forgiveness to others first. Give it over to the Lord. Let him heal you and give you the ability to forgive. And I've got to say, in my own life, it's like baby steps. Your eternity is dependent on it, the writer says. I've shared in church before, I had a recent healing experience when it came to forgiveness, and I will just say that I was happy that the Lord showed me in Scripture that it's okay to be angry at other people who have wronged me, right? Now, some of you are angry at God, some of you are angry at others, and some of you are angry at yourself. But it's okay to be angry. Now listen to these words from David in Psalm 140. And I paraphrased them just a little bit. But this is pretty much what I prayed when I realized that this unforgiveness was holding me back. And I wasn't feeling good about myself. You ever been uneasy? You know, you need something to be resolved. And so I went to Psalm 140 and I said, wow, this is awesome. I'm going to pray this. And this is pretty much what it says. Those who surround me are proud, and they're raising their heads above me. May the mischief of their own lips overtake them. May burning coals fall on them. Boy, I prayed that one. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits, never to live again. May those who slander me leave this land and never be in my presence again. May death and disaster hunt them down. I prayed that prayer. I was angry because this guy had wronged me. I said, God, I know I need to forgive him, but I can't forgive him. And so I prayed this prayer. And a little more on the psalm. I'll read it now. Deal with them harshly and give them what they deserve. These were my words that I was praying. I want you to take care of them. I don't want you to waste any more of my time and energy on these terrible people. I need your peace. Take care of them, and Lord, give me the peace that you have done this so that you can take, if I understand you take care of them, then I don't have to worry about getting even with them. I prayed this psalm every day for about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, and it gradually got better. My spirit got better. Something that had been bothering me for 3 years. Well, it was his fault, after all, because he had promised something and he didn't come through. And we were out a whole lot of money. So you can, and it's not just us, it was our good friends who also saw this as a something that they would like to help this gentleman out with. And it just didn't come to fruition. So it had been bothering me for 3 years. But after about 3 weeks, I felt a peace come over me. And I didn't know what it was, but I just figured that God was doing something. A few weeks later, after these 3 weeks, after I had been experiencing the peace for a while, I got an email from him out of the blue. and I don't want to tell you everything it said, but it pretty much said this. He's finally going to make things right after all this time, and I needed to pick a time to pick up what was owed to us. Forgiving others comes before our forgiveness from God. And we all need forgiveness. Probably the best example is when Jesus said this in Matthew 18, and I love this parable. This is also on forgiveness, of course. And listen to the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves or his employees. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents, that's a lot of years of wages, okay, 10,000 talents was brought before him, and he could not pay. His Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and his children and all his possessions and payment to be made. This is what they call debtor's prison, which was common in those days. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And finally, after all of his groveling and out of pity for him, the Lord finally did release him and forgave him that tremendous, huge debt. But that same slave, as he was going out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him $100. And seizing him by the throat, he said, you pay me now what you owe me. And he fell down and he pleaded with him. He said, look, have patience with me. I have a family like you. I will pay you. But he refused and he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow workers saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the Lord summoned him and said, you wicked slave. I forgave you all of that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I have mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay the entirety of his huge debt. Now listen to what Jesus says. In this same way, my Heavenly Father will do this to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. There are consequences for not choosing to forgive. Many of them are health related. In my own life, it was anxiety and an unsettled spirit. So let me ask you again this morning, are you angry? Who are you angry with? Are you angry with a person? Or with God? Or with yourself? Do you believe His promises that He can help you to forgive? That He can forgive you? That He can help you out of a terrible situation where you're the pastor of the church and you've got some conflict going on because this guy has done you wrong, yes, but you haven't forgiven him. That's why there is Psalm 140, and many, actually, if you take 140 through 150, you'll find about half of them are in that vein of David pleading with God to take care of people who have wronged him. Do you believe in his promises? Specifically, do you believe in his promise to release you from unforgiveness? I can tell you from experience that after praying day in and day out and wrestling with God and waiting and hanging on, that it eventually got better as the Lord took that. And I still don't know what he did to this man to make him change his mind. But it did happen, and we received what we had first invested in many, many months previous. So, brothers and sisters, are you ready to live a forgiving life? This is the number one thing that people have trouble with in their lives. The person you can't forgive may be gone now, I don't know, but you can pray to God and wrestle with God. And if you want to talk about any of this, like I said, I've had many people talk to me about it, so I'm happy to pray with you. And at this time, let us just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love to us. And each one of us has a cross to bear, a burden to bear. Lord, we thank you that you work and you make all things work together for our good. And we thank you, Lord, for the example of David, who was brave enough to demand that you work on our behalf because we are your kids. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for that blessed peace, that knowledge that comes from wrestling with you, knowing that you will indeed do what you said you will do. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this church family and your many, many blessings. And all God's people said.